When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Here at the House of Culture in Salt Lake City for All-Star Weekend 2023. I'm Charles Beloved, this is Pop Law, and this is your lovely host, Desiree Talley. Give it up for Des.
Welcome to Pop Law Podcast. I'm your host, Desiree, and I'm still not your attorney. Pop Law Podcast is presented to you by Revolt Podcast Network. We're back with a new sound, same show, and all things pop culture and law. Pop Law is recording at the House of Culture, curated by White Room Global. This is a very special episode coming to you from the 2023 All-Star Weekend in Salt Lake City. I am joined by the man who brings all the vibes, Charles Beloved, on the bar.
You know the vibes, Des. What's up?
We out here.
We in Salt Lake City today, right, baby.
R&B house party.
Oh, yeah. We're going to party it up tomorrow.
All right. And we are on Pop Law before we get that party started. I am sitting down with Grammy-nominated artist.
Keep going.
Emmy Award-winning musical
Keep
director.
Keep going, Des.
Adam Blackstone. Can we just clap it up one time?
What's up, Des?
What's up, Adam? How are you?
I'm glad to be here. All-Star Weekend, we're having a good time out here in Salt Lake. It's a little chilly, but you know, you got the fireplace, you got the ambiance. I'm with it.
I mean, you got a lot more accolades, so I got to run down the credentials a little bit more.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to let you do that.
Musical mastermind behind the live shows of many of today's biggest artists. He is also responsible for the epic Snoop and Dre halftime performance at Super Bowl,
yeah.
Rihanna's Super Bowl performance. He is even doing the NBA All-Star halftime performance. Come on, Adam.
Yeah, you don't sleep, clearly.
No sleep.
No sleep.
Adam and I will talk about his musical journey from Philly to the Super Bowl and dropping his debut album, Legacy.
Legacy.
Okay. Now, this topic, the journey of legacy, is going to be really interesting. We all are excited. I think the most excited is Charles.
Man, you're excited.
He's been trying to get into your concert series. He's like, I need to be on the show.
No, it get crazy out there, man. We were over live at the Sunrose Room in
LA. You were going crazy in LA.
They going crazy. So we're about to expand. I'm headed on the road with Jill Scott, and we're going to take that legacy experience out with Jill, so I'm excited about
it. All right,
that.
So these rapid-fire questions going to be good.
Real
okay,
real
let's get into it. Caramel or caramel?
Neither. I'm more of a chocolate drizzle type of person. And if we're talking the pronunciation, neither again.
Okay. Chopped cheese or cheese steak?
Cheese steak.
Okay.
For sure.
Team LeBron or Team Giannis?
I gotta go with LeBron. LeBron just broke the scoring record, yeah. You know, all time. Giannis is incredible, though. I think he's such an inspiration, especially for non-Americans to come from Greece and, you know, like his parents being, descendants and like, but LeBron is just, you know, he's doing something for the last 19, 20 years that we've never seen before. I've never seen in this lifetime. So, Team LeBron.
Okay. Old school or new school?
Ooh, I gotta go old school.
All right. These go get a little bit harder.
All right.
Prince or Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson.
Ooh, that was quick.
That was quick.
That was quick now.
I gotta know why. You gotta tell us
why.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that, you know, one of my first moments where I fell in love with music was, like, I remember driving home from church on a Sunday. I don't know if y'all remember this. Michael Jackson had the Remember the Time video come out at 8 p.m., on Fox. It was right before In Living Color.
Okay.
Well, I stood in front of the TV and I was like, yo, this is crazy. I remember I don't remember this, but I was told that we tried to get into a Thriller concert and there was no tickets and stuff like that. So I think Michael, I used to watch Bad, the video on VHS, like when it went from black and white to color.
Yeah.
I got into Prince later because of his incredible musicianship. But I think at an adolescence, you know, he was singing about some stuff that was a little over my
Yeah. I listen to some songs
now.
About
Raspberry Berets and all that. I was like, I'd rather know who's bad.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Earth, Wind, and Fire or Isley Brothers?
Woo! I'm gonna go with Earth, Wind, and Fire. You know, Verdeen and Philip are friends of mine, such iconic figureheads as musicians, and last All-Star,
yeah,
they did the 75th anniversary, and I was able to back them up, and then we also did Juneteenth together. Now, don't get me wrong, Ronald and Ernie Isley, they set the world ablaze, but I think, you know, for my personal relationship, it has to be Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Okay. Babyface or Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis?
Ooh. Oh, that's not fair.
That's a rapid-fire question.
You got it. I gotta go both. I can't...
I knew it was gonna get spicy at some point.
That one is too rough. All three of those guys are huge mentors to me. They continue to mentor me. I was just with Face on Sunday. He sang America the Beautiful for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Jimmy Jam just texted me a little while ago just because, you know, he always tells me how proud he is of me. And a piece of my legacy has been as well playing with Janet. And so I got to learn about their music, Jimmy and Terry, specifically very in-depth by listening to her files and diving into the music. As a R&B head, Babyface is just the pinnacle for me of songwriting and artistry and, you know, how he's developed people like Usher and Toni Braxton and Mariah and just all these other things. So that was the tough one. I gotta go all in them, yo.
Okay, this one gets tougher.
All right, here we go.
I'm kind of nervous to ask you this, but I'm gonna ask it anyway.
All right.
Jill Scott or Jasmine Sullivan?
I'm going to say, oh man. I gotta go with, I can't go.
You was almost
there. So Jill, man, I get emotional talking about Jill Scott. She is really one of the first ones to like give me a shot as a musical director on the big stage. I was MDing locally for a while before Jill, but she went on a tour called the Sugar Water Festival, where it was her, Queen Latifah, and Erykah Badu, one of the biggest black women festivals at the time, for sure. And she made me her musical director and really, really like put me on to see how the world and stages were run. Jasmine Sullivan is one of the first artists that I had never heard anybody sound like that before. You know what I'm saying? I was like, that is trailblazing. I think she was 13, 14, 15 years old. And, you know, we was in my parents' studio, like cooking up beats and working. And, you know, she blessed me to be on my album, Legacy, and Round Midnight, which we got the Grammy nomination for. So both of those women from Philly, they carry a very special place in my heart. They both queens to me. They both play major, major roles in the development of who I am as a musician, a musical director, and an artist. And ain't no choosing there. Yeah. You trying to get me, Des.
I mean.
You see what she doing, bro?
She went crazy there.
Charles helped me write these questions.
You didn't have to say that.
No, but I love them both. That is very difficult.
Yeah, I love
both of their music.
They mean so much to us as a culture, you know, in different ways.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Jasmine just winning for Best R&B last year. Jill won years before.
Right.
It's just like, you know, man, and then, you know, this tour I'm about to go on is coming full circle for me because I'm opening for Jill when really I started backing her up. So now as an artist, she's putting me on in a different light, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm super thankful about that too. So both of those women, equal queens.
Yeah. I love them and I can't wait to hear more music from them, and I'm going to be at the Jill Scott tour.
You going to be at the Jill tour?
I'm going to be there. I love her. All right. So you talked about being a musical director for some of these greatest artists. What exactly is a musical director?
Okay. I would like to classify that as all things live music oriented. I translate what you hear in the studio to the stage.
Okay.
I try to make an experience for the listener, for the viewer, for the audience member, so that sometimes, you know, most times I hope that you leave the concert wanting that experience again and almost liking it just as good or better than putting the CD on.
Yeah.
And more recent, because of what the bigger shows that I've done, I'm involved in the lighting and the choreography and the staging to making sure the hits and the music all line up with what's going on aesthetically as well. So it's everything from curating the set list to, you know, hiring personnel at times. It's like an MD is an overall, you know, curator of the live music experience. So that's what I've been doing.
And how does someone become a musical director?
That's a great question. I don't know how to answer that with a pinpoint answer. What I did early in my career was I just cared a lot.
Yeah.
And I think the artist at the time could tell I was like staying extra and wanting the band to rehearse more and saying, hey, I don't think that person fits with us. Try this person. I know this person. Or, hey, this voice matches with this voice better. And they're like, oh, okay. And then really just putting the sets together as well. That's kind of how it happened for me, where it was like I was just very attentive to the music. And
when something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
I think the artist can tell that you have their best interest at heart.
And what has been your favorite gig as a musical director?
I say each of the Super Bowls carry a special place in my heart. That's more recent. You know, my first one with Justin Timberlake. The next one was Shakira and J-Lo, which was huge for Latino community, and we was in Miami.
Yeah.
After that was Dr. Dre and Snoop, so that just
went. I was there. That was great.
Yeah, you were there?
Yeah.
All right, cool. I think I saw you like.
No, you saw me. You saw me low. I stood up there.
I was gonna say I was up.
Okay,
I saw you. I think I saw you. Yeah, and then you know, very recently we just did RiRi, and so it's been those experiences for me. You know, growing up as a sports fan specifically. Never really knew that music could take me to those stages. And so it's a big deal, you know, to kind of bask in what the blessings of God have really given me and like put me in the surroundings to meet people like yourself, but then also hang with the football team, with the Eagles, you know what I'm saying? Or like be an NBA All-Star and see LeBron and all of that. But really I'm there also doing a job of my own that they respect.
Yes.
Which is the music. So it's been a great, great journey. I would say the Super Bowls carry a special like MD place.
Yeah. And how do you get there? Because that is the world's largest stage. I know we talked about something, but you had to work gig after gig after right?
Yeah. Meaning, like, how did I end up at the Super Bowl?
Who hired you? Like, did you have an audition for it?
No. So, you know, interestingly enough, again, my first huge big gig was Jay-Z, Fade to Black, in 2003, 2004. And that was his farewell concert.
Yeah.
And from that concert, man, which I was not the musical director. Questlove was the musical director. That's my big bro, the Roots crew. And I met Kanye, I met Mary, I met a young Beyonce, you know, through Jay. And all of these things ended up spawning these relationships of work ethic for me to work with these artists. And so by the time I got established as my own MD and working with Janet and Justin Timberlake, when Justin got called for the Super Bowl, I was his MD, so it made sense for me to do that. Then the next year is when Roc Nation took over.
Yeah.
And because of the work that I had done on Justin, the NFL recommended me as well. And Jay was like, oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. I know Adam. And so it just made sense. And so we've been rocking ever since. It's been really cool.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, it's a huge trajectory that I try to tell a younger generation, like, you know, you're only as good as the last thing that you did. So no matter where it is, whether you're at church, whether you, you know, at a play, whether you're in a theater, whether you, you know, doing local club gigs, it's like you never know who's watching. You got to put your best foot forward at all times because it can turn into something
big.
Definitely.
Yeah. And so with this last Super Bowl, you also did the Black National Anthem,
correct? I did. That was huge for me.
Man.
I also did it in 2020 at NBA All-Star.
Yeah.
With Clark Atlanta University. And I don't know, that song just is so powerful to me. And it means so much for our culture.
Right.
You know, we sing the regular national anthem pretty much at every sporting event. So it's like to have that sung means that we are respected in a way, or it kind of
appears to be respected.
No, let me start over. All right, it means that they respect us, and they're gaining, even unfortunately, they're just gaining more respect for who we are as a people, who we are as a culture, what those words mean to us.
Yeah.
And we always want to like lift every voice everywhere we go. We do that as a culture anyway, but it's great to have it be displayed at somewhere like NBA All-Star or somewhere like the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This was the first year that it was televised as well. So that's a big deal, you know, knowing that the majority of the players are African American.
Mm-hmm.
Why has it taken so long for that to happen? And I'm thankful that it has. The NFL is really, I feel like they're making strides to get right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's a process. We need allies, and it has to start somewhere.
I love the rendition. I love to see Shirley Ralph
sing that on the field.
Yeah, she went crazy.
Last year I walked past Mary singing it outside of the stadium at SoFi. So for it to be in the stadium, everybody watching, I just was so happy, and it brought tears to my eyes to see that song sung and how she sang it. So
she
kudos to you, Adam.
Yeah, thank you so much. I was blessed to do that. Last year was Mary, and a great friend of mine, Derek Hodge, was the arranger of that. This year, I was blessed to arrange it and produce it, and Miss Cheryl and all her queendom, you know what I'm saying? She brought the house down, and I was excited to be accompanied by Jason White and the Samples as the choir. And they just, you know, it's been a ride of emotions, specifically with that song, because it means so much to us, and then I've heard from the players even, like, they have a new respect for where they are to even enjoy that song prior to a game, you know?
Yeah.
So it's cool. It was good.
And so when you do musical direction, we talked about what your favorite has been. What has been the most fun?
Yeah, I think the most fun easily has been the Bad Boy reunion tour.
Oh, my God.
Did you see that?
I went by myself, Madison Square Garden,
in New York.
I was there, Barclays Center, Biggie's birthday.
Barclays.
Biggie's birthday.
Yeah.
Tears.
Went crazy.
I was a
man.
So that tour was one of my funnest experiences as a person. Like, I would have went there as a fan. So just to be on stage with Puff and Fave and Toto and Mace and, you know, French and all these people, man, it just went so, so crazy. That's what I grew up on. That's the old school that I talk about with the rapid fire. And it's like, you know, me and my best friend from high school, Dilemma, we thought we was Puff Daddy and Biggie Smalls. It's like, so, you know, to now play that music, you know what I'm saying? Not having a chance to meet Big, but be as close as I was playing that music with him. And it's just been an incredible, that was just so fun. We danced the whole, you was there, we danced the
y'all
whole night.
Y'all need to bring that back, I'm telling you.
We need to bring that back.
I was there
crazy
by
too.
Myself, calling my sister
right
on FaceTime.
Sean Combs, we need a Bad Boy reunion tour. Maybe I'm gonna invite you to somewhere in Philly, Roots or something, Roots Picnic. We figured that out.
I mean, this is the Revolt Podcast.
Come on now, you heard
the
man.
And you just called out.
Come on,
sir. All right,
we need to do that, Puff. Let's go.
So what is your creative ethos when you are in the studio, when you're curating these live performances?
Yeah.
Tell me about what bag you pull from.
That's a good question. I move so fast amongst jobs that I think that I stay in my bag, in my swag.
Okay.
Definitely my children, you know, inspire me daily. I was just telling somebody that even leaving the Super Bowl, I flew home for the day just to like hug and kiss on my kids And they rejuvenate me to, you know, stay creative. But I'm still a music fan, and I'm a music head, and people introduce new music to me all the time, and I'm like, man, that sounds crazy. Like, I wish I would have thought of that. And, you know, just to hear new sounds and all of that, and discover new programmers and engineers mm-hmm. that I love working with. It's a collaborative effort, this game, you know. Nothing that I do has ever been like solo dolo. It's about my team, and they continue to inspire me too. So I think it's just a overall, like, being a fan of music, you know what I'm saying? And like, where's that inspiration? If I know I want to do something cinematic, I might go listen to some Hans Zimmer, or I might go listen to, you know, what Chris Bowers is doing. Or if I want to do something, you know, very gutta and hip hop, I might just pull out some Wu-Tang or pull out some Big or something. And really, you know, if I need to get in my West Coast bag, I'm gonna go full Snoop, Exhibit, Dre. And I just need to remind myself sometimes of like where the origin of that music came from and how it made you feel when you first heard it. Mm-hmm. So I always like to like revisit those things.
And when you're creating your own music, like you did with Legacy, are you in that same bag or do you go to another place?
No, I'm in the same bag. Okay. It's like, you know, I'm a jazz head. I love blues and soul music, and so I definitely was heavy on Sammy Davis and Nat King Cole. I was listening to Sinatra, a lot of that during my process of creating Legacy. But Legacy, the album is so encompassing of who I am. It has gospel on there, so I love Mary Mary, I love Kirk Franklin. It has, you know, standard jazz on there that I got Queen Latifah on. It got some hip hop boom bap. I got Jill rapping on the joint. And it's just, you know, I got Robert Glasper for that soul jazz bag, and the Baylor Project. It's so many incredible artists, Lauren Talese. And then, you know, rounding up the record, I ended up doing a tribute to Chadwick with his wife, Simone Bozeman. And so that was another song for me that just touched me for people who we have lost that we know that we'll be seeing them again in our faith. So that project is currently still so special to me that, I pray that people continue to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a great, great album.
Thank you.
And when you talk about this experience of creating your own album, how do you feel about performing your songs as opposed to being behind the scenes?
I'd be nervous, yo. It's such a different bag. Now, that's a different bag to be in. When I'm playing for somebody else, Charles, it's like, I don't get nervous because I'm like, we put this time in, we put the work in, I'm supporting them.
Yeah.
But when I'm up there playing and singing on my own, I'm like, this is not where I thought I was about to be. And so when it comes off, and it has, I'm very thankful, and the support that I've gotten has been so good. Not only that, it inspires me to like keep going and create new music and work with new people as well.
So when you get nervous performing your own music, do you have a ritual or something you say to hype yourself up?
I think I actually need to calm it down.
Okay.
I'm just like making sure everybody's where they need to be. I got a lot of guests always, so it's like, okay, cool. Moms is straight, family is good, all of that. Everybody's in AC. I'm like, let me just disappear for a second. And even my team knows it's like, as much as we can be prepared, that helps me stay creative. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm more of a step away from it real quick to calm it down so that I can just take a deep breath and visualize what's about to happen.
Yeah.
If I get too hype, I'm liable to forget everything. So for my own stuff.
Yeah. And you keep on talking about your team. Who are the most important people on your team that help you keep it all together?
Man, it's a full team effort when I'm working with other. I just did this last Super Bowl with my co-MD, Omar Edwards. So great. He MDs Jay-Z. He did Rihanna with me. I got my man Jason Rogers here who moves me around. Troy Knowles, Ebony Franklin, Marche Rice. My wife is the CFO of the company. So it's like we real family, like tight. And it's funny. We were just talking because it's getting a little bigger than us.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and that's just kind of how we grew up. Like, you know, like keeping nepotism and try to teach you know, people like, and especially for my children, like creating their own, creating my legacy for them, creating their own legacy is like, let me have something for them to hold on to, tangible, mm-hmm. when they get of age. So yeah, my whole team is like family, you know what I mean? So they moving me around and we're doing pretty good. We're gonna step it up because we got tour coming up and it's gonna be great.
I like that you referenced nepotism because sometimes in our community it's shunned. Like, I can't hire my family and friends, no nepotism, but that's how everybody else has been moving.
Every other culture does it. I do think that we have to give experiences to our family that they may not know about.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, me just hearing about you being a lawyer and like, you know, people knowing that, like, yo, you can get to the NBA by playing music.
Yeah.
You can get to the NFL by playing music. Like, you may not play the sport, but it's like there's so many other jobs. I look around, even this production, I want to teach my son and daughter about, like, being a camera person and, you know, grippers and stuff like that. All of these shows require so many jobs that we don't get to see sometimes as people of color because we're not put in those positions.
Right.
So that's what I think that I can do to help my family out and keep it within the family.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We got to do it.
Got to do it.
Nobody else going to support us but us, right?
Facts.
And what advice would you give your 13-year-old self?
My 13-year-old self?
Yeah.
It's okay to be chubby. love yourself. Trust God and dream big, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, I would definitely try to start that process early in my adolescence and know that it's gonna all work out for my good at the end once I do those things.
And what would you give the advice to for a young musical director or a person playing instruments and see you everywhere and aspire to be who you are?
Well, just know that it didn't just happen overnight. Yeah. This is a 22 year career that I've put in, from playing at clubs, bar mitzvahs, churches, theaters, free jazz clubs, like all of that. It's like, it really, really was a labor of love in the beginning. And remaining humble, remaining a person of integrity, being nice to people just in general, you know what I mean? Because you never know when you're gonna see those people again or need somebody.
Yeah.
And so all of those things, I think, is like just working hard, being integral. I think like that's the great signs of a musical director. Notice I didn't say anything about music.
Right.
It's like, because the talent is going to come. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talented, especially now with this social media. You can find anybody singing, playing anything. Yep. It's like, but are you a good person? Do I want to live with you on a tour bus?
Yeah.
Do I want to recommend you to Puff when I can't be there?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, do I want to say, hey, this is a client that you should work with at your law firm? You know what I mean? Like, all of those character things matter to me more than the talent.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You can teach talent sometimes, and a lot of times you just can't teach character.
Yeah.
So.
Character is really important.
Facts.
And that's something that I instill in education and knowing what you're doing.
Yeah.
For this job, you need to know that industry. Don't just show up and expect a handout. Do some research.
Do some research.
Yeah.
And even as a musician, I always like to say, like, the rehearsal is not the time to learn the music, like come prepared. You know what I mean? It's probably same in your field where it's like, know what it is before you actually have to present it to somebody.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's on Adam's wish list, or who is on Adam's wish list?
To work with? that's a good question. Oh, I think that I want to focus a little more on songwriting. So even thinking about the Babyfaces and the Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis's, getting in the studio with them, I'm loving Tim's right now.
Yeah.
She's writing and performing her behind off. Also, you know, James Fauntleroy is just like one of the songwriting gods to me.
Yeah.
So getting in the studio with some of those people would be really, really, really cool.
Well, you just missed 1500.
I just did. They was here.
Yeah, they
today?
Was here. So,
oh man,
we
I gotta hit Lawrence.
Yep, we all out here at All Star Weekend.
Okay.
We are all creating and building legacy.
Absolutely.
Charles, how you feeling over there?
I love it, man. I'm feeling inspired. I'm trying to focus on my next legacy, man.
There it is, man. That's all we can do is keep building, man. Keep building.
Adam, I appreciate you coming to Pop
Walk. No doubt.
I cannot wait to see what is happening at the All-Star Game, and I will continue to watch. And I'm inspired. I don't have a musical talent, but you make me wish I did.
Nah, I saw it. It's not even just about that. As long as we continue to uplift one another, you know, our jobs and our talents are going to come to the forefront and, you know, speak for itself.
All right.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for watching Pop Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Desiree. Be sure to reach out to Popwell on all social platforms and visit our website at popwellpodcast.com. Again, Popwell is presented to you by Revolt Podcast Network. And remember, I am still not your attorney.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludicrous.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.